This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you, off and rolling on this Tuesday morning. Well, of course, we'll do a lot more on the draft today because it's only been a couple days, our second day to react to a lot of players in. Goddard not out. Now, is he in or is he going to be out? I don't know. We'll talk about that. We'll get into the Shedeur Sanders situation more. Of course, Eagles at the White House yesterday. Philly start a new series up tonight. We got a lot to do. All of it with you on the phone lines at 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
Farmington, Maine is the earmuff capital of the world.
Earmuff?
Ear muff.
Huh.
They were invented there. Ear muffs were invented in Farmington, Maine. Chester Greenwood. They actually celebrate a Chester Greenwood Day in Farmington, Maine.
Well, it's cold up there, so I guess that makes...
It's cold. Yeah. And he apparently had large, sensitive ears and was bothered by the cold while ice skating.
Listen, I applaud the guy's ingenuity.
This was a long time ago.
I would imagine. It's been cold for a long time.
This was 1873.
Yeah.
And then he eventually got the patent in 1877.
Good for him. Hopefully he made a lot of money.
Really is a great thing. I mean, he went out and just figured it out and
got
his earmuffs made.
It's like the Eagles. Got job done. Yeah, get the job done. You get honored at the White House. All right, guys, let's get to a lot today. So draft and more with the Eagles. You know, there's so many directions to go. I'm curious what's top of mind for you at 215-592-9494. John, I think coming out of this draft, the single thing that hits me the most, I find most interesting, is what is going on with Dallas Goedert? Like, what in the world? So,
you know, I'm glad that we're a better team with him on it. I do think that I expected us to be worse because he would be gone.
I thought he'd be gone.
He's not gone.
No, he's not. But here's what's so strange. Guys,
we had 10 picks and he's not gone. What? Not only is he not gone, we didn't take any tight ends during those 10 picks.
That's what's so strange. I mean, you go back a couple weeks ago at the owners' meetings, what Lurie said about Goddard, what Sirianni said about Goddard.
You mean the past tense that everyone was using when they talked about him?
That and the he's on
really
the team
appreciate
for now.
What he gave us.
Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you guys, I was starting to think about this before the show, and I'm pretty sure I'm right. Now, if I'm off, you tell me, but I don't in the roughly 25 years that they've been doing this thing since Andy Reid and Joe Banner in the early 2000s all the way through now, what we call sort of the modern era of Eagles football, this century, I don't remember any situation like it. None. Where a player's a good player, he's well-liked, there's a contract standoff that has gone through free agency in March, through the NFL draft in April. Obviously, within 2 days, we're going to be into May. There's a dispute, and there's no resolution. And to your point, John, the brass has talked about him in the past tense. They also reference he's on the team, quote, for now.
He's on the steps of the White House.
He's with them yesterday. It's just a strange situation. Now, look, I hold out hope that he's going to stay. Guys, I want this dude on the team. I'm a big Goddard fan. This guy is, I mean, this, okay, let me back it up. This football team is tough. We're a tough team. Part of the defining elements of what made them a tough team was Dallas Goedert. He, honest to God, he is one of the tougher Eagles to me, I feel like, I've ever seen. When I think tough Eagles, I think Wes Hopkins. I think Jaws. I think Trot. Tough. I think John Runyon. Tough guys. Dallas Goedert's in that. Dallas Goedert's tough, man. And on a team that likes to run the ball and I think is best running the ball a lot, both with the running back and the quarterback and the threat of the quarterback. And Jalen is phenomenal at it, both when he runs and the threat of him running and how that opens things up for Saquon. And by the way, how that also helps opens things up for the passing game. Like, we talk a lot about defense, setting the edge. You think about Brandon Graham, edge rusher. You got to set the edge, not lose containment. Things of that nature. Football defensive principles. I think Dallas Goedert is the same thing on the other side of the ball in a way we never discuss. He sets the edge. He holds the edge for an offense that can go inside or outside based on the unique capabilities of Jalen Hurts. And, of course, he can catch the ball. And, of course, he's a leader guy. And, of course, he's a dude that's been to multiple Super Bowls with the Eagles and won a championship with them. And I believe he can still play. I want him on the team. I'm encouraged he's not gone. I am confused by the situation. And honest to God, I don't think in the 25 years or so that the Eagles have been doing this with this type of thing, the Reed, Roseman, Banner, Lurie, that whole thing. I don't remember any situation like it. I remember Deuce entering the final year of his contract, wanted a new deal. They didn't give it to him. They didn't start him. Carell Buchholter was the starter that year. Deuce, B. West, and Carell all played a lot. I just don't remember a situation like this. If you can think of one, let
Deuce
me know.
Deuce held out.
I know he did. And Goedert.
That whole camp.
I know. So that won't be. Anyway, that's where I'm at on Goedert. I want to hear from you, 215-592-9494. Now, with that said, there's a ton of other elements with the team. You know, is the new safety going to start? What position is Campbell going to play? John, what's top of mind for you when you think Eagles right now a couple days from this draft?
I'm fascinated by the rumor that the Cleveland Browns traded up in front of us to take Shedeur Sanders.
So the Eagles would have?
Yeah, yeah. After the draft, Howie was asked about that, and he was clearly not going to speak about another player after he just drafted 10 players. But it did, you know, that rumor, man, what does that mean? Where would Shedeur have fit? Would Shedeur have made this team a better team? Yeah, I think that value makes, geez, the guy, the first round talent, I mean, maybe that talent slips to a second round player, but not a fifth, not a sixth, not what, you know, McCord, you know, it's almost blasphemous talking about this because he's a local, you know, prospect. And geez, I look at him, I look at Shedeur Sanders. I was expecting Shedeur Sanders was going to be gone in the first five, you know, 10 picks of the draft.
Sure, of course.
And he stuck around for whatever reasons. But I am intrigued by the idea that we might have actually taken him, so much so that the former Howie disciple, Andrew Berry, or maybe you shouldn't say former Howie disciple, the Howie disciple,
yeah,
the former Eagles front office trained up here, Andrew Berry for the Cleveland Browns, who I'm certain knows more about the patterns, the ideas, the ideals, the approach. He is the one who decided to go up and get Shedeur. Would we be a better team? Yeah, I think we would be if he were on our team. I think he fits our offense in a similar way with the accuracy, with his it's not blow you away athleticism. He's more of a thrower, a guy who carves up a defense really with his mind first. Like, he was a good reader and understander of, you know, what a defense was trying to do coverage wise. You know, the kid who grew up with his dad, a coverage player, one of the most famous coverers in the history of the NFL.
I think it makes a lot of sense that they would have been about to draft him from this standpoint in particular. Tanner McKee is not going to be here much longer. I mean, if I had to guess, he's here one more year. because, you know, he's getting near the end of the deal. And I do think they're going to try to trade him before they just lose him. That's my gut feel. I think Tanner McKee can start in this leg. I don't know that he's going to be a great quarterback, but I think he's going to start in this leg. So I think the Eagles are going to trade him after next season.
You just traded for Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
I know. I understand.
You got Jalen, of course. Tanner
but then
McKee,
you drafted
you just drafted Kyle McCord.
That's my point. Because you drafted Kyle McCord, that tells me that the rumors that they would have drafted Shedeur Sanders are real.
I think so, too.
That he would have been the guy they would have been grooming to become Jalen's backup quarterback. Might have taken
and
until
I think he could have done a really good job at that.
He might have. I mean, it might have taken until 2026 until he's in the two chair.
But he's got that luxury of time in our situation here, in his situation.
Yeah.
This really was a positive. You know, and I do think that the way that this team's built and the leadership that we've got, they can survive distractions of the magnitude of even the possibility of Deion being a distraction as a dad who's a little overbearing.
Well, the Eagles,
I don't even think that would be the case necessarily.
Yeah,
I mean, don't think the Deion problem is even a thing until we see it become a thing.
Well, here's one thing just for what it's worth, and it's about 15 years ago, but I think people will remember the Eagles two different times ran into what I'll say the fire of distraction. One was Michael Vick. Now, he turned out to become the starting quarterback of the team, but initially was a third-string QB. That was bizarre, but they ran into it and said, all right, we're taking this on. The other a couple of years ago, and people might forget this one, Tim Tebow was an Eagle. Like, there was a camper to like, you know what? Tim Tebow, let's go. Now, it didn't work out. Did he make the team at all, James, or was he cut in camp?
I think he was cut in camp. I'm 99%.
I think so. Rhea cut in camp?
I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly didn't play in a regular season game. I don't think he made it even on a practice squad. I don't think he was the third stringer. But, I mean, it was a thing, and they took it on. Rhea, do you think they would have drafted Shedeur Sanders?
I'm shocked by it. But outside of T.O., they handle circuses pretty well. I have to give them credit for that.
Yeah, they're pretty good at that stuff.
It would have been really interesting because Tanner McKee's a completely different quarterback.
No question.
Jalen Hurts.
No question.
And so is Shedeur, I think.
So the thing about Tanner McKee is I don't think the Eagles are just going to lose him and not get value. That's just my gut feeling. I think there will be a point sometime in the next 12 months where they, and I still think it could be this offseason. Because, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers still don't really have a starting quarterback, right? Am I right about that? They still don't have a quarterback?
They do not.
Like, to me, if I'm Mike Tomlin, I'd much rather have Tanner McKee than nobody. But if I'm Howie Roseman, I would much rather trade Tanner McKee than lose him as a free agent in 2 years. I mean, what good does that do me? Look, there's an argument for holding on to Tanner McKee this year because Jalen could get hurt. And I think there's, you know, pretty decent confidence if he had to go in there, he could hold his own. But it is a fascinating situation.
Would Dorian Thompson Robinson, you traded for.
Well, you traded for him.
I don't know that he
was
I don't
with
know
a draft pick,
he,
though. I don't think he's like, I mean, I think he's the likeliest gone of the quarterbacks.
I agree. And if Shedeur Sanders had gotten here, I think Shedeur Sanders would have likely made the team and Dorian Thompson Robinson would not have. But look, I mean, we'll see. I mean, obviously Robinson and the prep kid
it
McCord
is interesting.
Are going to have to
I mean, it
out.
Makes it interesting.
They probably would have drafted
him. Kyle McCord, is the fact that we drafted him
in
the sixth round, does that put him ahead of the guy that we traded for?
Yeah.
Because of what we traded for him or whatever we value him for. Now, we've had Dorian Thompson-Robinson here for a little bit longer. A
couple months.
He's been, you know, in the offseason program a little bit more. So,
well, look, there's a lot to weigh in on the Eagles, especially coming out of this draft. I mean, what position is Campbell? Can they shuttle him back and forth between an inside guy and an edge? Is that realistic? Is the new safety going to be the starter? All right, great to have you with us on this Tuesday morning. Jota Cameron Jenrich, it feels back at it later today after, of course, 2 of 3 in Chicago and the day off yesterday. Speaking of a day off, Mr. Seltzer and Miss Hughes, both back with the band back together. James, an adventure for you, right?
Yeah, day off is making it sound a lot more fun than it was.
Yeah, you were on a so let me tell you, guys, whatever Seltzer's about to tell you, don't believe him. He was on a beach. He was on a beach drinking with his feet in the sand. Now, James, give us your.
Oh, is this so?
Give us
what you're claiming happened.
So I did have a great time. I went to, shout out to Keith and Keaton, went to an awesome wedding in Texas. It was an awesome awesome time. Yep. But my trip home was less awesome. It took me like 16 plus hours door to door. So I left from Austin to Dallas. We missed our connection to Philly. So then they put me on a flight to Louisville. Then that one got canceled. I had to change it to a flight to Richmond.
Oh, man.
Richmond to Philly. My flight from Richmond to Philly gets delayed for like 3 hours. I ended up getting home at like 11:45, 11:30 at night. It was like...
So which day did you get...
I'm still cooked.
What day did you get back?
That was Sunday. I got back super late Sunday. I just kind of slept yesterday, and I'm still kind of getting back in the swing.
Brutal, man.
But it was an awesome wedding, so super fun. But
Now, what's the technical ruling with the company from an HR standpoint? Is that a vacation day? Is that
a good question?
Like, what is that?
I have not gotten into the
John,
particulars
John, you got a
yet.
Ruling on that? I mean, does he have to get tagged?
Hell of a vacation
You guys are a lot more up on that stuff.
Rhea, you've been here the longest. Ruling. What is that?
Yeah, you kind of ruined it for him because you just don't mention it and it never gets written down and then nobody talks about
it.
Unfortunately, blip that, James.
There you go, right?
I'll tell you what, I'm turning that into the Twitter poll question of the day. Should Seltzer's travel disaster count as a vacation day within the company? Yes or no? I'm not kidding. I'm putting that in a Twitter poll. All right, Rhea, how are you? And how was the last couple of days?
Oh, amazing. Absolutely amazing. What was great about it is I was with my friends, because you know this from Thursday night, they all fell asleep. And I got to stay up and watch the draft,
good for
which
you.
I had a blast
watching
that. But had a blast while I was having a pina colada.
Nice.
Watching the draft.
What'd you think of the draft?
Here's what I thought. You know, clearly with the first five picks being defensive players, Vic Fangio's fingerprints all over this.
Yep.
The Jihad Campbell pick fascinates me on where they're going to use him.
Yep.
How do you Makuba?
Makuba. I believe it's Makuba.
I love that pick.
I like the way that guy looks.
I mean, to me, that's a it's obviously a replacement for CJGJ. But they just say how tough he is. Now he's small, and the Ty Robinson one, that guy. You watch his film; he's like scary and fast, and he's a pre-med student who wants to be a pediatrician. I find that fascinating. But his fingerprints are all over this. They did it. We were real upset with them losing all those players on defense. So I was thrilled they went all defense.
Yeah, they lost a lot. There's no question they lost a lot, but they gained 10 players. So, look, you can react on the draft. Obviously, there's a lot of ways to go there. 215-592-9494. And now in the aftermath, what's here and what's not? Goddard's here, but he might not be much longer. What do you make of that situation? All right to the phones. Coming up in 1 minute, we crank it up on the phone line. Say, let me tell you, of course, that Mother's Day is almost upon us. We love the moms. And whether you're shopping for your mom, your wife, your daughter, whomever it may be, Family and Company Jewelers, another spot that we love, is the place to go. Family and Company Jewelers. You know, no one comes close to their selection, their price, and, of course, their service. From Junior and I and the whole team, wonderful group of people, true experts of what they did. Family-owned business now for 85 years. You know, their showroom is something you got to see to believe. It's an extravaganza of jewelry. So get yourself there. It's awesome. Huge selection of gifts at every price point for this Mother's Day. Of course, you can also just check out their stuff online. I personally think it's more fun in the store, but you can start the process online, of course, at Family and Company Jewelers with familyandcompanyjewelers.com. Make sure you show her the love by getting her a gift, a mom, a gift that she will love, a gift from Family and Company Jewelers. They are, as always, South Jersey's diamond destination. All right, 215-592-9494. Your chance to weigh in on everything today. Let's get to James in Ardmore kicking us off. James, good morning.
Good morning, Joe, John, and Rita. Great show. Finally, a topic I think everybody's been interested in over the offseason, which is Dallas Goedert.
It's fascinating. It really is.
I think it's a great move to keep him. I don't think Dallas Goedert's the problem. I think Jalen Hurts is the problem. Because Jalen has his favorites, and I've seen Dallas in open several times, you know, standing in the middle of the field waiting for a bus, and then Hurts goes downfield to one of his favorites, and sometimes they catch it and sometimes they don't. So I think what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to get Jalen to incorporate Dallas a little bit more into the offense.
Well, here's what I'll say, James. So, you know, look, everyone listening probably knows I haven't been as high on Jalen as, for instance, John, James, and Rhea has. But I will say this. I really hope and frankly expect that he'll get better as he moves forward he is still on the younger side. I think scanning the field has not been one of his greatest strengths. You know, getting to read three and four and such, which is, a lot of times is what a tight end is. Tight end's not normally going to be read one unless it's that flare pass where it's, you know, off the, you know, maybe the QB hands it to the running back, maybe he keeps it. Goddard, I think, is option one a lot of times on that play. But other than that play, he's not. But I'm hoping that Hurts is better through his progressions, which will help Goddard or any tight end in the coming years. And frankly, I would expect that Hurts will get better at that.
Yeah.
But it's hurt Goddard's numbers. I mean, I think we all know Goddard could have an extra 20, 25 catches a year if he was in a different offense.
He's a solid player.
He's a very good player.
He can become a Hall of Famer. He, you know, he can.
Well, it's a little strong. A little strong.
He hasn't had the opportunity.
Have the opportunity. No, that's right. That's exactly right.
He can drag two or three players with him, 2 or 3 yards to get the first down every time.
Well, I'll tell you what he's better at than any tight end I've ever seen the Eagles have. Any tight end I've seen him. And I've seen from Spagnuolo through Keith Jackson through all the guys the last few years, Ertz and, you know, Selleck. He is the best breaker of tackles I've ever seen an Eagles tight end have.
Well, he's the most balanced tight end that this team has had. And I don't know how long. I mean, going back to, I mean, he's a better blocker than Keith Jackson.
Look, I was on the young side.
I'm going way back. But there's never been anyone this good in everything you can be good at as a tight end. Dallas Goedert is miraculously good, and we do not appreciate how great a player he is.
No, I think he's fantastic.
I believe, and I think all along, had he been on the field instead of injured on and off, and right. We're going back to his rookie year. His rookie year was the only year he ever spent every game on the field that was, you know, slated. I don't know if that means, you know, re-sign him for an extended period of time. I know we got him under contract for this year, and that's an incredible, he is an incredible weapon for this offense, and an incredible, like you say, edge, controller of the edge.
Holder of the edge, setter of the edge.
It's his ability to gain that edge. I mean, in terms of that quickness, that first step quickness, overtaking an edge, you know, that first step, that's not easy. You got to be a stud. You got to be able to blast out of your stance in order to overtake some of these athletes that are, remember, coming off the edge. These guys are like 4-4 guys, 4-3 guys.
They're some of
sometimes.
The best athletes on the field.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you got to beat them with your first step. And so there's so many little things that only a freakish athlete should be able to put all these things together and be able to do all these job requirements. Just blocking, the idea of latching on to a, I don't know, 285-pound defensive end in a 4-3 offense and driving him or sealing him, peeling the apple, trying to get your butt to the sideline and turning, that is so, nearly impossible. Yet Dallas Goedert does it with relative ease and relative consistency that you don't see tight ends do. He is a gem, a total gem. We have him for 1 year. They don't want to pay him. His cap hit is $11.7 million. It's got to get done. Something's got to get done. But at the same time, he's 30 this year.
That's right.
It is a slippery slope.
Yep.
You don't want to sign him too long because then you're hurting the team and you're doing what Howie has warned himself against doing, which is, you know, favoring the guys who have helped you go and
win
world championships.
It's a fascinating standoff, and that's what it is. It's a standoff. They've been negotiating for months, and they haven't come to terms. All right, great to be with you on this, what are we at here, a Tuesday? Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie. So the Eagles have a couple days to make a decision. I know what my decision is. What I don't know is what the Eagles' decision will be. Let's find out what John thinks it should be. Twitter poll question of the day. And everyone can weigh in on this one at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and certainly on the phone lines as well at 215-592-9494. Twitter poll is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's certified one-owner pre-owned pickup trucks and SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com together. Let's drive. Poll question, John, do you think the Eagles should pick up Jordan Davis's fifth-year option, which is for the 2026 season, So 25's coming up, meaning that season. But then 2 seasons from now is Jordan Davis's 5th year in pro football, 2026, which the Eagles control if they want to exercise the option for $12.9 million. Or if you don't, he becomes a free agent after 2025. I would not pick up the option for $12.9 million, John. Would you?
No. And this is, I can't even believe we're talking about this. When you think about this from a practical perspective, my gosh, I want a defensive tackle who I'm going to pay for that 5th year, right, $13 million to be able to play more than 20 plays.
That's right.
I cannot believe we're sitting here talking about evaluating this when the reality of the situation is they don't trust him to be out there for more than 20, 25 plays, and that is consistent. And you know what? That's unfair. I say they don't trust him. That is unfair to say that. They don't put him out there more than 25 plays.
Yeah,
that I've never seen anything like it. And initially it was, oh, he needs to work on his conditioning and stuff. Even when the conditioning is great, it seems, and he's able to give you a very consistent performance, it's not many plays.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
$13 million is way too much to pay for a guy that you have to that you're going to have on the field for one down, and you're going to have to pull repeatedly, and the most running he's going to get is on and off the field.
Yeah, exactly.
Personnel grouping wise.
I'll say this. Everything you said, John, resonates with me, but I'll frame it a different way. I can't imagine paying Jordan Davis more money than I'm not willing to pay Dallas Goedert. That's what blows my mind. Like, they're talking about removing Dallas Goedert for a similar amount of money, but actually giving Jordan Davis more?
Right.
That don't work for me. That does not work for me at all. Right. All right, look, your chance to weigh in. The Jordan Davis thing, the Dallas Goedert thing, 215-592-9494. What stood out to you from the draft? Also, let's get to Jeffrey Lurie from yesterday, because, of course, the Eagles were honored at the White House yesterday. Everyone's remarks were pretty short. When they would get to the podium, they would, like, just get right to it and then move on. So Lurie's remarks were really no more than about 20 seconds. But let's listen to the Eagles owner. Second time, obviously, they've won a Super Bowl in his tenure. It was cool seeing side. I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of side-by-side freaking Lombardi trophies. First time I think we saw it was Brandon Graham at the podium, although we saw not the actual trophy, but at the parade, you could see the, I don't know if you call it a picture, what would you call it, a graphic, a big display of, an artist rendition of it, I guess you'd call it. But yesterday, both trophies, and I applaud the Eagles for embracing, we've won two.
That's a flex.
It is a flex, right? Because I think a lot of teams would only take the more recent trophy. Yeah. And the Eagles are like, wait a minute, we've won two. By the way, they're both like relatively recently.
Exactly.
So we're taking them both. And I dug that. Let's listen to Jeffrey Lurie. His remarks were short. What he said yesterday at the White House.
Truly an honor to be here. I remember as a little boy, the championship teams that came to the White House, and I never dreamed we'd be able to, have a team and be as good as this. And this was a dominant team with incredible culture, everything we all believe in as the best human values, selflessness, humility, teamwork, talent, discipline, everything that we all strive for, this team incorporated. So thank you for the hospitality today, and go Birds.
There you go. Jeffrey Lurie yesterday. Double-barreled Super Bowl Lombardi trophies right next to him. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Talk to Harris right now in Havertown. Good morning, Harris.
How are you, Joe? How's it going?
Fantastic.
Good. I want to talk some Eagles. Joe, I think that you got to keep Davis because though he's not out there so much, I think it gives you a lot in the run game, and I don't know about the depth we have behind him.
Does he give you $13 million?
Yeah, I mean, it's not my money, Joe.
But here's what it is. It's instead of someone else getting paid. Like Goddard's an example. I mean, we just saw guys like Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, and others have to, you know, I'll say have to leave the team. You don't have to, but you get the general point. Leave the team. Darius Slay, leave the team because there's only so much money. So in a salary cap world, you know, if you're telling me $13 million to Jordan Davis and that's $13 million that doesn't get to go to someone else.
But what if they're banking on him? See, I'm way more of a Davis fan than you are.
Yep. Getting better?
Improving off of what he did this postseason.
Well, it's year three. I mean,
yeah, but remember Fletcher Cox started off slow.
No, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, he did.
No.
Well, they're telling us they're bringing him back, right?
Because no, they're not telling us that.
They didn't draft anybody.
Well,
they didn't draft anyone. They're telling
well,
us.
They also, well, but I'll say this. They also didn't draft a tight end. And Dallas Goedert's certainly not going to be here 2 years from now. I mean, at least I don't think.
The Colts starter, and they bring in Bryant, and he's their established guys. And that defense needs more help than the offense. The offense is fine.
Look, I think, but Harris, I'll say this. I think there's a diamond in the rough's a little strong, but maybe. Ojomo is pretty good. And, you know, like, he plays more and he plays better. So
sure, but we rotate. We're rotational guys.
Of course.
Best player on our team. Best player on our team, Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
Best player, and Barkley, right? Best player on defense, Jalen Carter. How do you not give him as much help as possible? Because if you don't have good guys that you can rely on there that we know of, then Carter's not going to be as good.
Well, listen, I mean, it's to be considered. I'm not saying it's a slam dunk easy call, but I would not bring him back. All right, Harris, what do you got? Seltzer says you want to comment on this me and Jack thing. What's on your mind?
Sure do. So I'm a frequent listener, but I have a job. I'm not, you know, doing it all the time. My buddy who's listening right now told me about the contest, and I want to pitch myself to you really fast. I'm the Lower Merion High School coach for tennis.
Nice.
And three-time state champion, and I'm a private coach as well. And I got to tell you, I've been doing it for years. Pretty big player myself. And Joe, I think you're great. I love less advice, and it would be an honor to teach you. I love teaching. It's a hobby. It's a passion. It's also my job. And I succeed with almost everyone. I like to say that if someone has coordination and athleticism, I can teach them. And I just love the opportunity to help you.
Well, I appreciate that.
I think it'd be great.
That's very kind. So here's my first comment. First off, we're certainly not going to call this me and Jack thing the contest, because that leads to a Seinfeld conversation from 30 years ago that me
and I remember it well.
That Fritz especially does not want to get into.
Oh, is that so?
I can't help you with that. Right. And I'm not going to be able to help with that one either, Joe.
What percentage of the audience got that? Like 35%?
Yeah, I think so.
Amazing. It's Seinfeld's birthday today.
There you go. But Harris, I appreciate the thought. What I'm going to do, my man, is put you on hold so Seltzer can get me your number. And I might take you up on it because I think I'm decent at tennis, but I could use a little sharpening up. And it's very kind of you.
Joe, my specialty, seriously, my specialty is advanced beginner, intermediate adults. Give me a shot because I would love to help.
Thanks, buddy.
And I want nothing out of it. I just would love to do it.
That's very kind of you.
So now we're setting aside the time for Joe to train.
Yes.
For each sport.
Yeah, to prepare.
That's for John. He's going to love it.
That's what athletes do.
Competing against
Jack. Athletes prepare.
So this was supposed to be five events. We're just trying to get one of these up and on the board and chalked up.
Harris, good man.
Can we get them performing, Harris?
That's good. Harris on hold. I'm getting his info. I like that. I also like, of course, when we give away a cool prize, we're going to do that coming up in a minute, give you a chance to win a cool prize today on the show.
You've heard me talk about my friends at PDQ POS and how their top-rated restaurant management system has helped thousands of companies in the restaurant, hospitality, bar, and casino businesses across the country. I've seen their operation, the people, the technology. It's so impressive when we do our show from their headquarters over there. If you're thinking of cutting your old point of sale, it's time to go all in and revolutionize your business with PDQ POS, the game changer in the world of POS solutions. Joe Flynn and his team at PDQ have been the industry leader for over 35 years for a reason. It's because they offer everything: mobile POS, self-service kiosks, enterprise reporting, contactless functionality, data and cybersecurity, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is the fastest, easiest, and most reliable POS available. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, they'll build a custom solution for your business. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Schedule your free demo and business consultation today at PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
All right, Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie. John, I believe you are an Elvis Costello fan. Is that accurate, sir?
I think he's amazing. I've always said the song Allison is one of the coolest songs that I think everyone who really likes to listen to the intricacies of like chords and the changes and all that, everyone wishes they wrote that song. That song is deep. That song is detailed.
It's a cool song.
That is, and it's beautiful.
Cool
beautiful.
Song. So we're giving away Elvis Costello tickets today. The real Elvis, you know, Presley or Presley, however you say his name. But it's been probably
how do you say? Is it well, Prez? We don't or know. Press.
We always go. Ria, give me a ruling. Presley or Presley? Because you hear
Elvis
both.
Presley. I say Presley.
Presley. And James, you say which?
Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley. Huh. I think I say Presley.
I think I say Presley.
No, I'm totally doubting myself now.
I think I'm a Prezzer.
I think I'm a Prezzer also.
Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley. Yeah, actually, I think I'm a Prezzer too now that I'm saying it out loud.
Definitely a Prezzer. I never go with the Presley. That sounds very fancy.
I'm a Presley, I think.
Are you? Elvis See, I'm Presley.
I don't know.
It's a real thing.
I really don't know. All right, well, look, we don't have Elvis Presley or Presley tickets. We got Costello tickets. Elvis Costello and the Imposters. With Charlie Sexton, September 19th at the Borgata in AC. For tickets to this, of course, Ticketmaster.com. Here's how you can win them today on the program. So Seltzer the other day, while he was away and
I was on a plane, actually.
He was on a plane, yes. And he was complaining about the plane ride and the other plane ride and the other plane ride.
Many plane rides.
And the skip plane ride and the missed plane ride and the you overslept plane ride and all those things.
Oversleeping.
And all those different things. He somehow found some time in the midst of his struggle to watch The Bad News Bears. Great movie.
What a movie, dude.
What a movie, right?
Like, if you haven't watched in a while, watch The Bad News Bears. It's great.
It's phenomenal.
It really is.
So here's the deal. Kelly Leak, obviously, in The Bad News Bears is by far the best athlete.
You bet at 841, Joe. He says it. 841.
Okay, that's pretty freaking good. All right, we're going to ask you today, from all the movies and the shows and the books, with all the fictional athletes ever, who's actually the best fictional athlete? Now, let me be clear. We're not talking about character development. Like, I'll tell you right now, Rock ain't going to win this. Love Rock ain't going to win it. Like, Teen Wolf, when he's Wolf Guy, better at basketball.
That was my answer. Scott Howard.
Better at basketball than Rocky was at boxing, obviously. All right, everyone put those thinking caps on for the best fictional athlete ever, like really dominated. And I'll say this. Something like Kelly Leak could win even though he's not better than, for instance, a Major League Baseball player in a fictional sense. But he was dominant for his grouping. It was like 13-year-olds or something, and he's out there dominant. All right, dominant for their peers. Best. Who is it? John Ritchie, who is it?
I actually think I have the answer.
You're going to say it or not?
I'm going to say it.
You don't want to hold it?
No one's really going to vote this one because no one was anywhere close to as into Smallville as I was.
Oh, that's true.
The show Smallville really was awesome. It's Superman in high school.
Yeah.
Superman played quarterback for the Smallville high school
team.
Yeah,
he was pretty good.
Kind of unfair.
Superman started as their quarterback for Smallville High his
that
junior year.
That's actually unfair. There should be a rule against
them
this.
To the state championship in an undefeated season his senior year. He would always give just enough to give them the win, but he's Superman.
Do we need to say, moving forward, James, no superheroes? I don't know if others played, but
I'm good with no superheroes.
All right, no superheroes. I'm just putting that out there right now. We're not taking superheroes. All the mere mortals. Seltzer, mere mortals.
Well, I was going to take Scott Howard, but he's off the board now, too. I guess Teen Wolf would kind of count.
Awesome one. You could do Scott Howard as a boxer.
I'll just give a shout-out to
Scott Howard, Teen Wolf, too.
Amanda Jason Wurlitzer Bateman. from the from Bad News Bears too. She's a hell of a pitcher.
Who is?
Amanda.
Oh,
from tremendous. Great pitcher.
Tatum O'Neill. Amanda, what was
Amanda Wurlitzer, which is hilarious.
Wurlitzer.
They call her Wurlitzer.
Yeah, absolutely. Rhea, a great fictional athlete.
Dottie Henson.
Yeah, she is.
I just love her.
I do too.
Right up until the last play.